Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Mark. I know a Mark that we're all going to be looking at. Y'all hang on a minute. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. Let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. Real familiar story. Everybody there? And the Word says, in those days the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from far. Then the disciples answered him, How can one safely these people with bread, satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said, set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets, leftover fragment. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, Lord, and Father, I praise you, Lord, and I honor you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord God, to be in your house, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do here, Lord God, for what you've been doing here, Lord God. And Father, I pray that your word, Lord God, would not fall on deaf ears this morning, Lord. And Father, that people would hear that voice, Lord God, and they would hear your word, Lord God, and not only hear it, God, but do what it says, Lord God. And Father, I do pray for this country. I pray for this world this morning, Lord God. And Father, I pray that people would be saved, Lord. I pray for missionaries all over this world, Lord God. I lift them up to you this morning, God. And Father, I pray right now and ask you, Lord God, to just use me as a mouthpiece, Lord God, for you, Lord. Not for my glory, Lord, but all for yours. And Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I started out this morning by saying God is a loving God. He is a God that loves each and every one of us, and he, as long as we're with him, like the deal I was talking about, the Soviet Union last weekend, or Russia, or whatever you want to call it, it's also happened in the United States of America, too. So I promise you one thing. I stand before God this morning. I will do my best to preach God's word, and I am not going to water it down in any way, form, or fashion, and they can come and get me. They can do whatever they can try to do whatever they want to, but they are not going to shut me up, I promise you. God loves us, and God said, and this is a perfect story here, God said that if we would follow him, that he would never forsake us, and he'd always be with us. Verse 2 says, he has all this multitude of people, thousands of people. And one of the first things that Jesus says, and everybody understand this, it's just like you and I are going, we are walking in this world that we walk in right now. A lot of us have been Christians for a long time. A lot of us may not have been Christians for a long time. But we're fighting everything in this world, tooth and nail, to try to get out the Word of God to God's people. And God looked down on this multitude of people that they had been with him like 3 days. Some of them had come from far off, the word said. And he looked down at them, and the first thing that God says, and I want you to understand that, he says that about you this morning. He looked down, he says, I have compassion on the multitude. And why does he have compassion on them? He has compassion on them because they have now continued with me for 3 days. This multitude of people have been following God. There's a lot of modern churches in this world, whatever they want to call them. There's a lot of modern preachers in this world. There's a lot of modern terminology in this world. There's a lot of things that have changed about the churches in this world. But this old-time religion that we talked about, that we sang about a while ago, give me that old-time religion, it's going to be here forever. And as long as we hang in, as long as we do what God wants us to do, as long as we preach the truth, and as long as you and I witness to people and tell people about Jesus Christ, God is looking down and He's seeing the fight and the struggle that we're going through, and He's saying the same thing. I have compassion. God looked down on the people, and because they had been with Him so long, He was not about to send them off. He knew that they needed a touch from Him, and He had compassion on them. He looked at them. He saw the hurt. He saw the pain. And it don't make any difference if you come from afar off this morning, if you're far out there in sin, if you just, you know, sin is sin. No matter how far you came from, how far you have went in your life, God has compassion on you through His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life and died on that cross at Calvary. He has compassion. Remember that. He has compassion on you. He loves you. He honors everything that you do. Had people call me, a young man talked to me a couple weeks ago, crying his eyes out because he thought that the Lord had, he just felt like his prayers wasn't reaching God. And I assured him and showed him in God's Word where God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And so church, Christians this morning, as long as we stay with God, I say it don't make any difference. Nobody likes to see the things that's going on in our world, the way our world is turning from God. But one thing about it, God has compassion on us and everything that's going on in this world, He has in His hand. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen the day after tomorrow. And He is with us. So He has compassion. And He has compassion on us because we are staying with Him. And not only does He have compassion on us, I love John 3:16. He said, everybody that believes, for everyone, everybody that believes Him, whether you're a sinner or you're a Christian, He loves you and He has compassion on you and He wants you to come to Him. He just like these people in the store. Let's look at what's going on. Verse 3 says, and if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way. For some of them have came from far off. Jesus had compassion on all the people and these people had came from afar off. But I want you to pay attention. This is where the meat of the sermon is at. Then, His disciples that had been with Him, that had walked with Him, that had saw miracle after miracle after miracle, only a few verses back, I wrote it down here in my Bible a while ago, Mark chapter 6 is when He fed the 5,000. Them guys are sitting here with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ tells them, this is what we're going to do. And what do they answer? How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? How many times has God done something in your life and then something else comes up that's the same or just about the same and you question? He got you through the first storm and then you doubt that He's going to get you through the second storm. People, God don't have any place for doubting. God wants you and I to believe in Him, and whatever He says, He can do. He says in the Bible, He told His disciples when He ascended into heaven, He said, go into the world. But He told them, He said, all power that I have, I'm giving unto you, and you go into the world and preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to reach a lost world, to reach people that are lost. But these disciples, just like you and I, we doubt. We have that doubt. And where there's doubt, God, I believe with all my heart, if there's doubt in your life, God can't bless you. I believe He wants us to believe. He says, ask and believe and you shall receive. If you believe Him, you're going to receive what He says. Put your trust, your hope, and your faith in Him. But these old disciples, just like you and I, how? How are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to do this? Well, I imagine God looked at them and He said, well, this is in between the lines. They questioned Him. God looked back at them and He said, look, If you go back a few days, I took some fish, matter of fact, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he had 12 baskets left over, and he fed 5,000 people. And then there's more mentioned in that verse. And so how could y'all ask me if how am I going to satisfy these people? This is what I want you to do. And this is where I know a lot of times when you and I, when God tells us to do something, we question it. But then when you pray and you think about it, then God will bless you and he'll say, I want you to do this. And when you do it, he shows you how to do it. The thing is, don't ask God how to do it. Just say, okay, Lord. And every time that you say, okay, Lord, in your life, God will show you exactly what you need to do. So in verse 6, after they asked the question, God commanded them. You say, I think of some old stories in my life when Daddy would tell me and Reagan to do something, we'd doubt it. And he would command us. You know, he would command us, this is what you're going to do. And that's what God told us. Jesus had a sense of humor himself, I promise you. He had to have to deal with me and you every day and to deal with the disciples that he dealt with. He said, I command you. The multitude, so he commanded the multitude to sit down, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. Another thing. He made them sit down, and in reverence, God blessed the food that they were about to eat. Think about that. How many times are you and I'm trying to relate this story and today's story. How many of y'all sit down at your table at night and eat, and before you eat, pray? Or you sit down at noontime and you sit down? You know, when we used to do this, and I think about this, we talk about the family and how the fabric of the family has kind of come unravel. There's a few things, and this don't even, God wants to tell you this right now. We need to, as families, sit down at the table or wherever we're sitting down at, and I know where we're sitting down at, in front of the TV set and recliner. But you see, when I was a kid, we sat down and ate breakfast, we sat down and ate dinner, and we sat down and ate supper. And every time, Daddy prayed. Every time. And we talked about what was going on. You see, Jesus commanded these people, and I think he's talking to you and I know he is, that we need to, the first thing he does is he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They done exactly what Jesus had commanded them to do. And people, as long as you and I will do exactly what Jesus commands us to do, we're going to be blessed. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about obeying Jesus Christ and doing what Jesus Christ does. You can tell the world that we live in, and I tell all of them that's watching on this internet or whatever they watch this on this morning, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you do what Jesus Christ says do, Jesus Christ will bless your life. Don't ask Jesus why you're not getting blessed if you're not doing what he says to do. So many times, so many religions, so many Christian people, or so-called Christian people, have decided that they are going to do church the way they want to do it. They're going to do their home the way they want to do it. If there's a little nudity on the TV, if there's a little cussing in the family, if there's a little of this, if there's a little that, that's okay. That's just the way life is. That is not the way life is. That is not the way God commanded us to raise our children, to have our family. And that is that. That's it. That's what the Bible says. God commanded these men and women and children and his disciples to sit down, and he prayed. And then they passed out the bread. And then the next verse says, they also had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said to them, set this before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of fragments. What does that tell you about God? Not only did he feed these people, not only did he reach out and feed these people and bless these people, because what do you think God would have done if he commanded them to sit down and they stood up? They wouldn't have got nothing to eat. They'd have went home and they'd have fainted like God said. But God told them, you sit down, and when they were through eating, when they were as full as they could be, they had baskets left over. And there's a difference. I noticed this as I was reading this. There's a difference here in the feeding of the 5,000. Let me tell you something. It says, they also had a few fish, and having blessed them, he said to them, set them before them, so they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets. Large baskets. God don't do anything little. God don't do anything little. When Jesus Christ saves you, he saves you. You are saved. You are going to heaven. If you live by the word that he has given you to live by, if you go by what he has commanded you to do in this Bible and you trust Jesus Christ, you can do all things through Jesus Christ, or everything. There's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing. I guarantee you there's a billion better preachers out there than me this morning. And I promise you, if I would have had my choice, Lord, I wouldn't have been up here this morning. I'd a whole lot rather been sitting out there or teaching Sunday school. I didn't want nothing to do with that. But God told me, I want you to do it. And when you do it, he will do everything that he says do. And what I'm trying, there was baskets left over. Big baskets. Wasn't no little baskets. God don't do anything little. There was 12 big baskets, or what did it say? So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets left over with fragments. Think about that. 7 large baskets. The Lord, I've got a scripture. I got to find it now. Oh, Lord. I hate it when I get scriptures and I can't find them. Let me see. That ain't it. Y'all hold on. We got to stop. We're waiting on, believe it or not, the Lord is going to show it to me. It's in Acts. Acts 9:25. There's an old boy named Saul. And Saul run up in them people, they facing to kill him. And verse 25 says, then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. See what I'm saying? He used that large basket to get, you know, and what I'm saying is, them people were fixed to kill Saul, and the disciples or the people with him got this large basket and led him down to safety. God has a large basket this morning. There's nothing in this world that can defeat you if you give it to God, because God's love is everlasting. God's love is not small. His love will reach out to everybody. Can't you understand this morning that God don't do anything little? God sent his son to that cross, Jesus Christ, the very Jesus that we're preaching about. It wasn't a little thing. When Jesus died, he killed sin. He defeated the devil. And praise God, he's going to return again one day soon, and he's going to have his reward with him, and we're going to be blessed, not a little bit. He said there's things in heaven and not an eye has seen, not an ear has heard. We can't even imagine what's in heaven that he has stored up for us. God don't do anything little. He used big baskets. He uses big things. And the other thing, he fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fish. And he had the 7 large baskets left over. And I just want to say that his fullness, God's fullness, reaches the world. And John 1:16, he says, out of his fullness, we received his grace. Out of his fullness. And of his fullness, we have all received grace for grace. we have received God's grace. Not because God is a little God, not because God can't do, but it's because God loves us and God's grace is sufficient for all of us. Where is that? God's grace is sufficient for all of us. Got to find that now. Y'all hold on. Here we go again. John 1:16. That's good. I'm glad somebody told me. John 1:16. I'm not even going to go there. It says, God's grace is sufficient for everything. Everything. There's nothing that can happen. That's what I want you to this. Can you imagine? Now we talk about, relate to the way the world is today. We got air conditioning, and it's been 100 degrees plus outside every day for all summer, seems like. These people were in the same climate that we're in right now. Israel, if you draw a line all the way across, we're about in the same line on the globe. The weather is basically the same over there. And what I'm getting at, it was 100-something degrees outside and they in the desert. And God saw fit to show compassion on them. He knew that those people needed nourishment. And he knows right now in your life this morning that you need him, that you need his love, that you need his encouragement, that you need to be in church, that you need to study his word. He knows that. And he wants to fulfill your heart. He wants to fulfill your soul. He wants to fulfill your mind before you faint, before you go the other way. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about, and he says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in need, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for I am weak, then I am strong. You see what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, like these people, they were weak. They didn't have anything to eat. They were out in the desert. They were in the heat. We fuss if the air conditioning runs all the time. We fuss about the electricity bill. Thank God for air conditioning. Me and a brother was talking about outside a while ago. We used to have the old camp meeting. Just think how things hadn't changed. It was hot. We didn't know no better. Because we were more interested in, or the people that were having the camp meeting, our mothers and daddies, they were more interested in God than they were being cool. They knew God was going to bless every need that they had, and he did. Paul said, when I am down, when I am hurt, when I am wretched, when I am no good, I am at my best. Because why? Because I lean on God's strength. And that's what we got to do. We have got to give God the glory. We have got to rest on God's strength and what God gives us, and quit depending on everything that we do. We can't do anything. But God says, I love you. He says, I have compassion on you. He says, I have mercy on you. I give you my grace. Why do we not do what God says to do? Let's ask you a simple question. I think about it, and I don't know, it seems like the last 4, 5, or 6 weeks, God has just continued to. I have a burden for people that are lost, for people that are hurting, for people that are dying. And it's so simple. It's just this miracle right here would have never happened had Jesus Christ not commanded them to do it, and they done exactly what he said do, even though you and I have questions. You and I have questions about this world. We have questions about what's going on in this world. And believe me, God knows everything that's going on in this world. I hear people say, well, they know what's going on in Washington. Yeah, they know what's going on, but they ain't doing anything about it. But God knows what's going on. Give it to God and he will take care of every need that you have. There's never been a need, there's never been a want that a Christian has that God will not fulfill. You say, well, We prayed for my mama to live and she died. We prayed for my daddy. We prayed for this and we prayed for that. God blessed them because they were him in paradise now. God blessed them because they don't hurt no more. There's a lot of people. Brother Wayne Smith was here this time last year, and he's with God now, and he's with God, and he is okay. He told me tonight he died. He's okay because he put his hope and his faith and his trust in God, not man. He done what God said to do. He fought. I know the road is weary, and it seems like it ain't going to never end. You know, we used to sit in the tent meetings over here, Brother Bill preaching, Daddy preaching, and Brother Durham and all them preachers. The world, they pull that chart across there, and they scared the devil out of it. Remember that, Calvin? They would scare the devil out of it, but they'd tell you, put your faith in God. The world may not come to the end. I'm telling you one thing, it's come to a drastic change already. People have got to do what God says do and do it. I'm not talking about watered down religion no more. I'm talking about putting your hand in the man that has control. Because his grace, that verse we read, his grace is sufficient for all, everything. There's nothing he can't do. And he said, Paul again, and I think about Paul, and I think about, and you think about hard times in your life. Had a couple of families here that's lost loved ones in just the last couple of weeks. Think about, you can look back now, how did I get through that? How did I get through this bypass surgery? How did I get through cancer? There are a couple of women in here that God healed from cancer. I mean, how did I get through that? How close was you? You were closer to God in that situation. And I won't try to what I was trying to say a while ago. I have this yearning. I have this hurting for teenagers and kids and people that are lost, grown people that are lost. And you don't have to struggle. You don't have to hurt like you're hurting if you will just give it to God. And no matter where you're at, Paul's saying, I was in prison. Jesus had this multitude out in the desert. They had been listening to him preach and see miracles for 3 days. And they were still fighting the fight. And God looked down on them and had compassion on them. And you this morning, you are still in the fight. If you're with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are still with the fight. You need to put your faith in the Father because he has compassion on you. And you know what? The greatest thing about it is, the cross. I always point you to the cross. Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross. He took your sin. You think of every sin you committed in your life. He took that sin on himself, and he was a perfect, spotless Lamb of God with no sin and never knew sin. I mentioned it last week. He bowed his head in that garden and he sweat those drops of blood and he could see every sin that you and I would ever commit. He could see it today. He could see all of it. But he was willing, he loved you enough. He was willing to take on that sin and go to that cross and die. And even, I preached it a couple Sundays ago, even that thief on the cross that was had the nails in his hand, was sentenced to death, was going straight to hell, he looked over him and said, just because he asked Jesus to have, remember me, Jesus. Just because he asked Jesus to remember him. Jesus said, this day you live in paradise. What Jesus went through on that cross, what Jesus gave you and I, was not something that was little. It's a big basket full. He took care of it. All that old boy did is said, remember me, and he's in heaven. All these people did to get their nourishment is sit down like Jesus said. And I promise you, in your life today, you may have problems going on tomorrow. You may be having kids problems, whatever problems it is. If you will sit down and you will pray and you will get close to God, God will bless you and God will get you out of that situation just like he always has. And you will grow stronger coming out of every situation than you are right now. You see, when we as people, when everything's going good, when we got money in the bank, when the air conditioner was working, when the water well was working, when all the kids were happy, when all these things going, we don't need God. Don't ever get yourself in that frame of mind. You need God every second of every day. And God's blessings are abundant. He told those guys, y'all sit down. They passed that bread around, then they passed that fish around, and there was 7 large baskets left over. What's that tell you? God's grace is sufficient for all things. All things. A couple of years ago, Joanne and I were in a restaurant in Huntsville, and we sat down and we was eating and talking. Joanna asked me, she said, did you get a ticket? I said, I hadn't got a ticket. And I stopped the waiter. And I asked the waiter, I said, where's our ticket at? He said, you don't have no ticket. The tab has been paid. And I said, let me pay the tip. He said, you don't understand. The tab has been paid. It's taken care of. And when I got home, I was trying to figure out who I saw in that restaurant that I could go and pay for paying for my meal. And I never did figure it out. But you see, that tab was paid. The tip was paid. Everything was taken care of. All I had to do is accept it. But I wanted to fight against it. Jesus Christ died on that cross at Calvary for every sin that you ever committed. The tab is paid. Everything is taken care of. Jesus Christ, with his mercy, grace, and love, took care of every bit of it. All we got to do is let him do it. So I ask you this morning. I tell you, Jesus Christ has compassion on his people. And Jesus Christ's grace is sufficient for everybody. None too bad. Matter of fact, none of us are good. There's only been one good one. They hung him on that cross at Calvary. There's only been one. People, Jesus paid the price. And I say it every Sunday, and I'm going to keep on saying it because I hope that one day, I went a long time before I understood it. I hope that one day you understand that Jesus paid that price, and that all you got to do, just like when that guy bought John and I's dinner, it took care of. He done it. Let him have it. That's all he wants. God wants his children to come home safely. Like the illustration I tell all the time, God gave me a couple years ago about the first time your child drove off in the car for the first time. You didn't go to sleep. You didn't sit there. You didn't go to sleep. You sat there and you tried to watch TV and you were worried about that kid. And you stayed focused on that kid. You know what? Jesus Christ, right now, created every one of us. He sent us out into this world. And all he wants, his mind is on us. Nothing else. And all he wants is for his children to come home safely, every one of us. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning and I praise you. Lord, I honor you. Oh God, I pray right now, Lord God, your precious spirit, Lord God, will fall on this place, Lord God, into the minds and the hearts of young people, Lord God, and married couples, Lord God, and Father, that they'd dig down deep, God, and get away from this mess that we're living in, Lord God, and turn it over to you, Father, where we can see these churches blow up like they used to long ago, Lord God. People wouldn't go to hell and spend eternity. Father, we know you sit right there. God, you're sitting at the right hand, Lord God, Jesus. And God, you are perfect and you have taken care of us. You have supplied every need that we have according to your riches and glory. And you want us to just come home. You want your children to come home. And God, I pray right now, if that precious spirit, Lord God, is talking to the hearts. If you're pulling on that bench back there, if your heart is about to bust, that's Jesus. And Jesus is trying to tell you, come home, child. He's calling you right now. I pray that as we stand on our feet and we play this song, that you wouldn't deny God, because God did not deny you. And God said, Jesus said, if you deny me, then I'll deny you before my Father. That's what he commanded. Father, we give you the praise, and I pray right now, as we stand all over this auditorium, Lord God, that people would come to you. Forget about this mess and come to you, because you have it all. You are best and you have blessed. In your precious name we pray. Amen to God. Thank you, Jesus.